You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Milbury is brought to you on a Bruins Thursday by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around the joys of food by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, by Kentucky Owl, the Wise Man, American Straight Bourbon Whiskey, and he joins us on the Harbor One Hotline this morning. Hey, Mike.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, but, you know, let's put this Brady thing to bed. When you know, a stature's good. I think Wiggy's right. But, you know, he's got a movie about him out now, a groupie cougar movie about Tom Brady. Have you seen the trailer? Oh, Gronk, you're so big.
Oh, man. What the hell? Bite your tongue. Pathetic. It's a very good movie.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Curtis said the same thing. Curtis went with 85-year-old Myrna the other night, one of the listeners. And she's in your wheelhouse, Mike. And she loved it. Curtis loved it. Courtney loved it.
Yeah. So think Miracle with an actual talented sports guy in it.
Wow. Okay.
What is
Mike Arruzzioni is not going to like that.
Mike, what is, in your opinion? I know what mine is. I would say Mystery Alaska. But what is what's the best hockey movie ever? Don't say Mighty Ducks.
You know,
Youngblood.
Youngblood's
not. Has there been a good one? I don't know. Slapshot, I guess, was pretty good.
Yeah,
you didn't like Racky, the original goon from Youngblood?
Get him, Racky.
Well, it's yet to be.
Yeah, it's yet to be made, yeah. We were talking about it earlier. You know, it's a long-time ongoing discussion, but, you know, you look at Gretzky, you look at Michael Jordan. Is Tom Brady the greatest athlete ever?
You know, if you measure by championships, he's certainly right in the conversation. I mean, and still Bill Russell. I know time has passed, and I guess you probably have to pick greatest athletes by era, but of this era, there isn't anybody that's been any better than him. So I'd say yes, yes.
Yeah. Courtney brought this up earlier. These guys get a win before the All-Star break, and then they're off till the 11th, I think. Mm-hmm. Is there any concern on your part that the break is bad for this team? I mean, I feel like the fatigue has been there, whether it's mental or physical. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, I think it's a good thing to have a break, but when you look ahead at the schedule, it's murderous. I hate the All-Star game. I just hate the All-Star game for so many reasons. It's a fraudulent, you know, sponsorship-related, let's touch all the big guys close and personal and so we can get some more sponsorship money in the middle of a grueling season. When they come back from the break, it's just crazy how many games they play in 61 days. I think it's 31 in 62 days. They have a two-day break once and a three-day break once, and otherwise they're playing every other day or back-to-back. It's just impossible to predict how they're going to hold up under that. But so the break is good. I'd rather have them sprinkle in, you know, off days and do the touchy-feely all-star crappy thing sometime in the off-season with the sponsors if you want to make them feel happy and steal their money.
Kind of like the NFL does the Pro Bowl basically after the season, but right, a week before the Super Bowl. I mean, I guess I can kind of understand you on that part. The thing that I was going to ask, Mike, when you kind of look at the schedule and you talk about how it's so grueling, and I've heard, like, and maybe basketball, they might have talked about this. Adam Silver might have said it. How would you feel about shortening the season? Or is that something that, you know, players would want to do? Is that ever a possibility?
It's about the money, obviously. I mean, you want to fill your buildings. They've got these valuable buildings. You want to make sure that they're busy. But it's really stupid when you think about it. I mean, you think about the number of games and the type of contact that takes place over the course of 82 hockey games, and or even basketball games, which is not as physical, but certainly is a contact sport of some variety. But you're traveling all around the country. I mean, these guys in this span from when they come back in February till the end of the season, they've got a West Coast trip, they've got a, you know, Western Canadian trip, they've got a Midwest trip, and they're doing that playing every other day. And I don't know how you can perform at a level, and I don't know how you cannot make yourself vulnerable to injury when you play that number of games. And so, yes, I think it'd be smart to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think they'll do it? Almost definitely not.
But if it, you say it's about the money, then how does the NFL get away with it with only playing 16 games? Isn't there a way that if you shortened it, but you just made it more, I mean, there's got to be a way to shorten the season and still be able to make money, right?
Well, you're going to make money, but you're just going to make less of it. I mean, right now the Bruins sell out every game. Why wouldn't they want to play more instead of less? I mean, but it doesn't make sense. In the play, first of all, I think what really has to happen is the players have to get involved. Their average salary now is in the millions of dollars, $3.5-4 million, whatever the hell it is. And if they took $500,000 less and had a better situation with 65 games or 70 games even, and you could have some time off and some time with your family and maybe be safer, it would make sense. But they're going to have to get really, really involved in that, and we'll see what happens.
Mike, we know how Greg's relationship has been up and down with our former mayor, Marty Walsh. And so I want to ask you, the biggest development out of the search for NHLPA executive director, he's, I guess, the top candidate right now. Was that shocking to you to see his name kind of float out there?
Marty Walsh. can you believe it? I don't know where that came from, but, you know, I guess he's had some labor experience, but I mean... he's in for a shock. I mean, it's going to be interesting if he does, in fact, get it. And I'm surprised that, you know, and speaking of it all being about money, that's the reason why he would do it. I think that their present guy makes about $3.5-4 million. And so Marty's looking for a paycheck.
I mean, I would assume we would have immediate bike lanes accessing all NHL barns in the league. I think that might be a good thing.
It's a head scratcher. I mean, you'd think they'd want somebody who's had experience in the sports world, but I think
what it shows you, it's very similar to Charlie Baker being the president of the NCAA. I think it shows you that these jobs end up being all politics, and they need somebody who can kind of work their way through.
But they're wrong for that because Major League Baseball and the NBA Players Association, I feel like, have two really good associations, and they're both of their presidents are former players.
Yeah,
you know, but the NFL does it. They hired Demora Smith, who was a lawyer, and now I know Mike. The NHL's talking about Marty. I almost feel like you get more from a former player that is in that world.
I think you have to have some experience to get a feel for the players and what they want. And, you know, I don't know what does he ever watch a hockey game? Is he a hockey fan? Has he gone to Bruins games even? I mean, have some feel for the sport and what the players go through and then start to talk in terms of business. But I find it a little puzzling.
Donnie Sweeney has a month left when it comes to the trade deadline. We talked with you a couple weeks ago about Bo Horvat. They do Bruins not getting that deal done. What's your guess at what Donnie does? Maybe it's nothing.
I hope that they take that Southern swing as a barometer that they need some more depth, that they're scoring went down. They were a little fatigued. Yes, there's no question about it. But get another winger, add another quality winger. DeBrusk will help when he comes back. But there's still plenty of guys out there. And the timing of this is so important to understand. Like, I don't know where Bergeron and Krejci are in terms of the future, but it's going so well so far this season. You have to take a bite out of the apple and sort of seize the opportunity. I think not only that, I thought Carlo was horrible on the road trip. He was better last night, but he looked like he was beat up and tired. They got to find some, with the schedule they have, this guy Zaboral, who I don't know if he's any good or not, but you got to play him. He's been on the shelf for like three months. Give him a chance to play and see what he can do. Give another guy a rest. It shouldn't be punishment to sit out a player. They should say, listen, the schedule's goofy. We're going to give you a break. And they need to get another defenseman and a depth chart, another forward on the depth chart at least, and start playing some serious phone tag with your contemporaries, because this is not going to last forever with the guys that you have and the age group they have in the center position. You're probably not going to get another opportunity with this group, so go for it.
Speaking of Don Sweeney, Mike, just a shy of a month ago now, he signed Pavel Zacha to an extension. Zacha since then is top 10 in the NHL in points. Is this just a hot streak for Zacha, or is this clearly another identifier of a stroke of Sweeney-ness, if you will?
Wow. Wow. Aren't you something?
I'm really cooking today, Mike.
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't shoot that often. He's playing with some really good players. He's a little soft for my taste, but he's a skilled guy, and I hope it's part of the long-term plan that he's going to be maybe the second line center. But he's red hot. Good for him. Will it last? I don't think so.
Mike, is there a chance? And I'm not sure if I asked you this before, but is there a chance that the Bruins can't get Pasta signed and he ultimately leaves in free agency?
There's the chance. I mean, we're talking about a contract discussion that looks like it. I mean, I don't know if it's going anywhere during the end of this regular season, but if I'm a player, I'm probably putting it on the shelf while the playoffs are going on. So then he gets perilously close to the end of the line, and, you know, maybe he starts to think they don't love me as much as I want to be loved, or maybe all of a sudden Bergeron and Krejci both decide to retire, and he says, I'm not going to win here. I'm going to try to look somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, there were rumors that they were making progress, but, you know, progress is a long way from the finish line. So, yeah, I think there's a chance. I think the Bruins obviously going to want to sign him, but how big an ask is Pastrnak making of them to have this be a hesitation? You'd think it would be easy. You'd think it would be, you know, he's so obviously gifted and is going to be around for a long time. You'd think they'd find a way to get to a number that everybody could say this is acceptable, but it hasn't happened. So somebody somewhere is being stubborn.
It was crazy last week when we talked to you that you said, oh, just brace yourselves. We're going to hit a bit of a bad streak. And that's exactly what happened. And then going into Toronto, you had guys like Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and nobody seemed like they were worried about that losing streak. And then after the game, Montgomery saying we're back to our identity. We always hear head coaches talk about identity. What is the identity in your mind of this team?
I think it's a puck possession team that can move really well. They've obviously included defense in their operation. Their goaltenders have been solid. Even, by the way, on the Southern swing where they didn't do so well, both goaltenders were excellent. I thought they were great. That's a real, I mean, for me, that was a real positive sign that they could hold up while the rest of the team was crumbling a little bit for a while. And they believe in themselves, so they come from behind, or they can handle a lead that they blow and still win a hockey game. It's a really resilient group of puck possession type players with great backup goaltending and great regular goaltending, and so they're in a position to say we should believe. The schedule coming up, and I hate to belabor this, but it's going to take a bite out of them again. There are going to be some other stumbles along the way. It's not going to be an 850 winning percentage at the end of the year, but they still have such a lead that they should be able to get home ice advantage for the rest of the playoffs, barring any unforeseen major injuries. But it's going to be a tough go for about 8 weeks here until the playoffs come, and how Jim Montgomery handles his bench, uses his players, and sets them up for a healthy and, you know, ready to go run is going to be interesting.
Speaking of coaching, last eight games, I think there's something like 3 of 27 on the power play. What do you see there? Because it's clearly a slump. What do they need to do there?
You know what? Sometimes when you find yourself in a ditch with a power play, you need to simplify. I mean, they've been so, you know, wizard-like in their terms of their puck movement sometimes on the power play. Sometimes you need to just get it back to the point, have somebody stand in front, screen the goaltender, and look for a rebound. And that's really what it is. And you play so much, and then you start to actually get a little overconfident on occasion, and you overpass, overthink the power play, get it back to the points, let them rip, and find a way to screen the goaltenders. That's usually a pretty good formula for shaking it free.
All right, Mike Milbury, as always, a pleasure. Are you prepared for the forthcoming doom of cold weather on the Cape?
Yeah, no, I'll be okay. What's not going to be okay is the Brady Cougar movie. Just bothers me.
You got to go see it. You have
no,
to.
No, Courtney, yes. I'm not paying a goddamn nickel for that. No,
oh, protect no your thanks. Masculinity. Don't want to watch a chick flick.
Well, I don't.
I want a good chick flick, not an '80s for Brady.
I think whatever. I think you're honestly.
I'm disturbed by this.
Your age group gets a discount on tickets. I think. I don't know how much it'll cost you.
Goodbye.
I could probably you'll cry during it.
You could probably watch it at like a senior center somewhere.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Bring your
don't
wife.
Don't call me next week.
Share a popcorn.
Don't they have like a movie day? I remember my grandfather used to have like movie day in his building.
Mike Milbury, thank you very much. There he is. All right.
And that's redundant saying goddamn about a Brady movie.
But why is it got to be a chick flick? Just because a dude doesn't want to go see it? Like,
well, no, that's what every guy that I said looks... that it was a really good movie were like, no, it's a chick flick.
Yeah, I'm going to be home having Bush Light.
Well, I mean, I don't look at it. Maybe the trailer did it wrong.
Okay. Yes.
It just looks to me like the plot of it via the trailer looks like the dumbest thing ever.
It is. I agree with you. And I saw the trailer. I'm like, this is trash. And it's basically just all about how great Tom Brady is. There's mention of Tom Brady. He really isn't the center correct. Focus of this movie.
That is correct.
See, the problem is this. And me being the movie expert, it's the name. It should have been 80 for Brady. It should have been some other name where it was just four women that were diehard Pats fans wanting to go see Brady.
What does the name have to do with anything?
Because Sisterhood of the Traveling Tom Brady.
Yeah.
No. Because I think once you put the name into a movie, it just, I don't know, it changes the way people view it.
Dude, what are you talking about, Wiggy?
Like Hurricane with Denzel.
Oh, you expected to see some sort of a weather incident.
No. But if you change the name, I think
so. This should have been like Road Trip.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wiggy went to that expecting to see Denzel as a weather, a meteorologist.
No. I like the name Hurricane. It should be like Road Trip or something along. Don't put the guy's...
Road Trip's been taken. Yeah.
Don't put the guy's actual name in there. Like Mike Tyson, Jamie Foxx is supposed to be doing a Mike Tyson movie.
Yeah.
Don't name it Mike Tyson.
Well, that's exactly what you would do.
Yeah. No.
So, Wiggy, you hated Ray?
No, I actually thought Ray was really good.
Well, then what the hell are we talking about?
I also think
because the movie was about Ray, it was about Ray Charles. This movie, you're telling me, is not about Brady.
I mean, he's an undertone of it. And it's also crazy. We mentioned the fact Bill not being in it, but then Matt Patricia, a guy plays him.
It's all about the name, man.
There's a scene in this which I felt was like kind of a shot at Patricia.
Really?
Oh, definitely.
I'm there for it. All right, now
you're going to like this movie, Greg.
Really?
Yeah, because you're not one that sticks their nose up to you know, films you feel are beneath you. No. This is a good film.
Huh. Okay.
Like, remember they had the movie Old Dogs was Tim Allen and a couple. They should have named it like
Old Hags.
But that's a comedy that, I might want to see this.
Yeah.
And then it's sprinkled on to it, you know.
I'm not Martin Scorsese, but
I am.
I think the I think the object in naming a film is to create interest in those who would, in this particular case, be Tom Brady fans.
But when you
so to leave Tom Brady's name out of it, essentially, I would guess it might leave some puzzled who don't know what the movie's about.
Wiggy was so pissed when he went to go see Private Parts.
But when you add the name in there, it then turns off a group of people. Like Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie, it wasn't Howard Stern movie. The name of it, that was a good name for that movie.
Oh, so Wiggy really liked Fever Pitch.
No, you're missing my point, because none of you guys have that knowledge on what it's like to get people into the theaters.
Well, how do you have that knowledge?
Because I'm somebody who is a movie diehard, and I've been on a few movie sets. Let's just say that. You know?
Oh, you have?
And I've talked
What'd you think of Debbie Does Dallas?
I talked to a few directors, and it's the naming of it, that name might have deterred some people.
Okay.
We have to take a break. Tomorrow, blind dating game Mary will join us in the studio at 9.
Yep.
So you can meet her.
Yeah.
She's Courtney's friend.
Yep.
Courtney brought up a month or so ago that she was struggling when it came to meeting somebody. So for Valentine's Day, we'll make her the subject of the blind dating game.
I agree.
And we'll meet her for the first time tomorrow morning on this show at 9.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.